Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem, HSP number 14. That's Highly Sensitive People, Shir number 14. We're going to talk today about how to reframe your childhood and your adolescence and learning how to regulate yourself as you go into adulthood or as being an adult. Experiences that you had in your childhood or adolescence do matter. Like a plant, there's a kind of seed that goes into the ground. That's your inner temperament. That's who you are. That's part of the story of how you grow. But a lot of factors in that growth of that seed, which is your inherent qualities, your etzem neshama, so to speak, is the quality of the soil and the water and the sun and how that affects your growth or how that affects a particular plant to grow. So if the growing conditions are very poor, even if the seed is a beautiful seed, a healthy seed, but if the conditions of the growing was poor with the water, soil, and sun, then the leaves or flowers or seeds will not appear or will appear in a not healthy light. Same thing as a child. Even if you didn't have a traumatic experience in your life, but simply being misunderstood by the people around you with that high sensitivity could have held back some of your growth. Now, not every HSP is anxious or depressed or traumatized. There are two types. Some are, some aren't. A lot has to do with their childhood. If they had a healthy childhood with healthy people around them, they're less likely to experience the depression and anxiety that people with troubled childhoods, with troubled adults around them may experience. It's a totally different experience. So HSPs is not necessarily connected automatically to intense anxiety or depression or overattachment or avoidance of intimacy or no. Those are usually due to a troubled childhood. HSP that does not have a troubled childhood may not feel a large degree of depression or anxiety or things like that. So a troubled childhood could affect the HSP more than a non-HSP. And why is that so? Or even a non-troubled childhood, a regular childhood, why are HSPs, highly sensitive people, more influenced and profoundly affected by their childhood experiences is very simple, because they're prone to see all the details, all the implications, all the threatening experiences that are potential threats they see right away. So don't underestimate the impact of childhood, because it could very well be that a lot of the childhood experiences were so distressing that they were deliberately forgotten. If someone caring for you all of a sudden became angry or dangerous, the conscious mind will bury it. If you have guilt about certain feelings you have, the conscious mind will bury it. So even if your childhood was wonderful, it was still probably very difficult to be highly sensitive because you felt different, felt isolated. And your parents and teachers, they could have been excellent in most respects. Nevertheless, just there wasn't enough information about this trait of HSP, so they did not know how to handle a sensitive child. So that's a very, very important thing to realize. It's not chas v'shalom blaming parents for anything. It's just simply understanding that they lacked the knowledge of it. So the idea is, if the HSP did have a good childhood, then usually the teenage years were less turbulent than if it would be a difficult childhood. Even in the good childhood, the parents probably practice what we call benign neglect. Benign neglect simply means that they just were not aware of the special sensitivity that HSP needs. That's can be overcome with not that great amount of difficulty. And then what happens is when a child enters the school years, then the fear of an HSP increases for many reasons. Number one is now that you have to go to school, you become more prone to being over-aroused and you become more fearful of it. That's number one. Another factor is that you may have realized how much was going to be expected of you in school and how little your hesitations would be understood. Very often, the hesitations you have in school, teachers will misinterpret it as you being not intelligent or being awkward or something wrong with you. In reality, just highly sensitive. And very often also is because your antennas now pick up on all the feelings of these other people in school. Even those emotions they want to hide from you or from themselves, you pick it up. And some of these feelings could be very frightening. Since your survival dependent on other people or on these people or your teachers, you feel the emotions of your teachers, even the negative ones. Another issue in school that creates dilemmas, being sensitive to discomfort and disapproval or anger of others, made most HSPs prone to try to follow every single rule as perfectly as possible, being very, very afraid to make a mistake, and being good all the time. But the problem is when you try to be good all the time, you ignore many of your normal human feelings, your irritations and frustrations and selfishness and rage, normal emotions that you just have to work through, every human being does. And yours are more needed to be addressed. And the fact that it's not will fuel your anxiety or your anger and so on and so forth. So that's very, very important. Another issue also what happens is you get less support from your parents. Your parents said, okay, until a certain degree of school, I'll tolerate your behavior, your sensitivity. I'll deal with it. But after a few years, their patience runs thin. They said, come on, you got to outgrow this already. Wake up, grow up. So parents become frustrated with the HSP because it takes them longer to outgrow it. Sometimes sensitive men have a bigger issue because they're stereotypically not supposed to be sensitive. Women could be, but boys, shy boys get a tremendous amount of negative reaction from others, especially if they're also mild-mannered. It's a big test. But the little girls, the young girls, have their tests at all, as well. It's also very important to know that it's never too late to overcome this discouragement. Elaine Aron says that as a child, she had a special sensitivity to falling, which spiraled into over-arousal, loss of coordination. That's very important, by the way. Very, very many HSPs are not coordinated. It takes them longer to learn how to ride a bicycle or roller skate or ice skate, even if they try, or drive. They'll have more issues with coordination than most because of their highly sensitive nature. And HSPs tend to be envious of others that have it, able to do it much quicker. She had an experience, Elaine Aron, when everyone was wandering indoors and she stayed looking at a swing, and she always felt shame because she was always too afraid to use the swing. She said that a woman that was much younger than her came and offered to show her how to use the swing. First, Elaine Aron said, no, I don't want it. She ignored that. She says, I promise I will never push you harder than I want. She held out the swing. She swung her till she felt safe with her, till she built up the courage to swing out beyond. Now, she said she never saw this young woman again, but she felt a tremendous gratefulness to her for that experience and respect and understanding that she taught her to go with one gentle swing at a time. The school years are difficult also because the noise could be unbearable, the noise of the recess, the noise of the interactions. And very often this overarousal of noise and stimuli leads to poor classroom performance. And because most excel in HSPs if they're reading quietly, studying quietly. Some HSPs excel in schoolwork, but many, many fail to do so because they are overstimulated and it's too difficult for them. Most male HSPs are introverts. With girls, some of them could be more extroverted, though many of them, most of them, are also generally introverts. So here is a aside. We're going to talk about reframing your background and work towards your own health in your balance of regulation. Number one is appreciate yourself for being, not doing. For being, yes, you have to accomplish things in life, and you do, but at your own pace, at your own quiet, normal, healthy pace of your pace, not someone else's pace. And if it takes you longer, it takes you longer. If you need to just be the where you are and think things through, that's fine. That's okay. Also, when you do finally do take a risk or step forward, praise yourself for it. Praise yourself when you learn something new. Don't praise your successes or your failures or whatever it is. No. Anytime you take a healthy, normal risk and you learn something from it, praise yourself. Whether it turned out well that particular time or whether it did not turn out well that particular time, it makes no difference. The actual courage to take a healthy, normal risk in life is a tremendous accomplishment. Another thing which HSPs really suffer from, most people do actually, but especially HSPs, is try not to constantly compare yourself to others. It invites excessive competition and unhappiness. You have your own pace of doing things. Your brain works a certain way. Yes, you need to work to get out of your comfort zone, and you try, but at your own pace. Don't compare your pace to the pace of others. Give yourself an opportunity to try to interact with other people that are understanding or gifted. Don't overschedule yourself. This is a big problem with HSPs. Also, they overschedule themselves, overtax themselves with things that they feel they need to do. Don't do that. Allow time to think. Allow time to even daydream in a realistic, healthy way. Keep your expectations realistic. Your goals, your realistic goals. Don't hide your abilities because of your shy or lack of confidence in your abilities. Don't hide those abilities. You have a lot to share. And be your own lawyer, being your own advocate. Build yourself up. Of course, we all have to avoid arrogance, and we need to be self-introspective to think things down in a deep way. But defend yourself when you need to defend yourself. Accept yourself when you need to accept yourself. Then you get out of the childhood years and you enter the highly sensitive adolescence years, which is difficult for anybody, whether you're HSP or not HSP. But if you're HSP, even on an average level, high school years is extremely difficult. It's mind-boggling how difficult it can be because of all the biological changes and awakening of sexual feeling, of puberty going onward. Is tremendously traumatic for an HSP. There's a painful self-consciousness that it brings, being uneasy about those sexual feelings that are coming up, how to handle it. And in the religious community, it becomes more complex because it's a taboo subject and it's something that has to be put aside until marriage. So that creates even more confusion, and especially with HSPs. Very often they displace their energy and they throw it into the sexual realm by thinking about it a lot or acting out on it a lot. But that's not their real source of what they're really at. It's really an anxiety that's harder to face, so they don't know how to face it, so they channel it in sexual energy. But there's something even deeper going on there. There's a lot to talk about in this subject, which we'll make separate shiurim on at some point in time. And to make sure, HSP, not to self-destruct, not to be so overwhelmed that you say, I can't take this anymore, and I'm going to go off the beaten path of abusing drugs, abusing alcohol, becoming very sexually active with people just to escape, not really being true to yourself, God forbid suicide or thoughts of suicide. It is very, very difficult. The adolescent years of a HSP is excruciatingly difficult, both for males and for females. For males, it's a big challenge in the sense where they're not supposed to be, they're supposed to be macho. They're supposed to be, masculine, and HSPs are soft, feminine, very difficult for a boy HSP. Difficult for women HSPs is, again, men, okay, they're sexual creatures. What do they think about all day? Men, sex and sports. What do they think about if they're from the Daf Yomi and sex? You know, that's just the way it is. It's part of the nature, you know. So that, in a way, saves them, because it's not the HSP aspects of it that fueled it. A lot is their maleness, because the males have this wiring of the brain that they're very sexually oriented automatically in a physical way. Women less so. So when the women or girls experience this, there's much more shame attached to it, much more confusion attached to it. But it's the most natural thing, especially for HSPs, to have a heightened sense of sexual feeling within them, which, if they're not taught about it or told about it, it could be extremely confusing to them, thinking they're who knows what, some terrible people, or their minds are always in the sewer, things like that. It is not true. God put in this nature, and it's just a matter of learning about it and directing it. So this is all very, very important. We need to grow up, grow. It's a very social world. It's a very difficult world that we live in as it is. And we need to learn how to adapt to it. All of us, non-HSPs as well, but especially HSPs, need special siyata d'shmaya in this regard. And that's one of the basis of the shiurim, is to help aid, to give advice and practical tools on how to handle high sensitivity, and how non-HSPs could learn how to be more sensitive in a healthy way, and how HSPs could dial it down and channel the sensitivity, place borders on it, so they're not overwhelmed by it and they have a healthy balance. Bracha and Hatzlacha.